Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I had a wonderful weekend in Italy. Really important, significant ministry times. You know, it's only when you go out in ministry and mission that you discover what God has really done in you. And I knew God had done a lot in me during the 36 days that we started the year with, but you only really see the fruit of that when you're out in a ministry situation. So I was just rejoicing at what I saw the Lord doing, because all the glory goes to Him, but it's the result of what He has been working. And it was great to hear a number of testimonies of people that have been saved and healed through previous visits, some astonishing things that God has done. And that's always encouraging. All the glory goes to God. But one man who was there said that I heard that he was had been given only a week to live, and he came to one of our meetings. I don't know what year, but a few years ago. And he came to the Lord and got completely healed. And there he was at the meetings this weekend. So, you know, God is at the work all the time. And things like that happening, and you may not know about them, because at the time I just prayed for the guy, but I wouldn't have known his situation or circumstances even. So all the glory goes to God for what He does. But I heard one of the most precious, wonderful testimonies I've ever heard at the weekend, and this has nothing to do with me at all. Some of you may remember a few months ago, we gave thanks for a wonderful man of God in Italy called Giuseppe Laiso. He went to be with the Lord. He was in his mid-80s, I think. Something like 83, 4, something like that. But he had been a wonderful man of God, great pastoral heart, but he was essentially an evangelist. And he had been ill with a number of issues for some time. And I was told that he was really about to die, and the ambulance came. They wanted to take him to hospital. But this really was the end. And this is typical of the man. He's dying, right? Later that day, he did actually go to be with the Lord. On the way to the hospital, he led the nurse in the ambulance to the Lord. And when they arrived at the hospital, instead of going off duty, that nurse stayed with him until he died. Isn't that precious? That was the heart of the man. We did a tour all the way through Italy some years ago, and you know, you stop for petrol and he'd be evangelizing it wherever. He'd just be talking Jesus, handing out tracts, and that's an evangelist. Don't call yourself an evangelist if you're not. But that's an evangelist. Just talks Jesus. But I thought that's so wonderful. Right to the end. Right to the very end. Leading people to salvation. Good example, isn't it? What's the name that is above every other name? Whisper. No, what's the name that is above every other name?
Jesus.
What's the name of your Savior?
Jesus.
What's the name of your Lord?
Jesus.
Of your healer?
Jesus.
Of your provider?
Jesus.
Of the way?
Jesus.
Of the truth?
Jesus.
Of the bread of life?
Jesus.
Of the resurrection?
Jesus.
See, Jesus is everything.
Yes.
And in recent days, God has been giving me a fresh revelation of the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. And I knew in a sense this was going to be put to the test this weekend. And on the Saturday night, we had the most phenomenal meeting doing what we're going to do this morning. One of the things that's always concerned me over the years is what it really means to pray in the name of Jesus. Because it's become a kind of a catchphrase where people say in the name of Jesus at the end of the prayer so everybody knows that it's time to say amen. But of course that isn't praying in the name of Jesus, that's just using the name of Jesus. And I read a testimony of someone who was seriously ill, and they were being prayed for, and nothing of any consequence was happening. And this was a very serious situation. And the one who was ministering realized that the problem was that the person he was praying for was focused on the need, for the need of healing. And he just said to this person, just call on the name of Jesus. Just call on the name of Jesus. Just keep calling on the name of Jesus. And as the sick person did that, the power of God fell upon that person and completely healed him. And I thought, yeah, that's really what it is to pray in the name of Jesus. That Jesus really is the prayer. And I think this is what Jesus meant when he said to the disciples, I will do whatever you ask in my name. So far you haven't asked anything in my name. So far you've never used my name like that, because I've always been with you. But now something entirely new is going to open out. And now you will pray in my name. Everything, your healing, your provision, your life, your future, your hope, your freedom is in that name. Because, of course, the name denotes the person. Now, as you know, my name is Colin, but I'm not a name. I'm a person. I'm a person who is named Colin. And Jesus is not just a name. In the name of Jesus, amen. He is not just a name. He is the person. And he is the person of God. You see, God is your Father, and his name is Jesus. Do you remember Jesus said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Father and I are one. There is only one God. He reveals himself in the three persons of the Trinity. But those three persons are not separate. They're one God. So whether we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, truly in the name of Jesus or whether we pray to Jesus, everything, all the power, all the authority of our prayer is in that name. Wouldn't it be simple if when we were teaching people to pray, we say, oh, it's very simple, you just pray one word, Jesus. And you keep praying that one word, Jesus. Because, of course, the Holy Spirit would not only cause the power of God to fall, but Jesus would begin to speak and would begin to reveal whatever else the person needed to pray. But how often, especially when we're praying about a need that has to be met, a healing that needs to take place, is our focus on the prayer rather than on Jesus? Making sure we're praying the right words, that we're praying with faith, that we're getting it right. Almost as if our words and our phrases are going to convince God to do something. Whereas in fact, as we all know, Jesus is taking a rest in heaven. He's sat down, having accomplished everything that the Father sent him to do. There's nothing left for him to do. It is finished, he cried out on the cross. So everything and the fulfillment of everything that we need is in that person of Jesus, if you like, is in that name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow before that name. There will come the time when every tongue, even those that have denied him, opposed him, persecuted him, every tongue will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When people see him for who he is, they will have to admit that. Even the Muslims, when they see Jesus for who he is, will have to acknowledge that he is God, not just a prophet. He is who he is. So perhaps we need to be more childlike in our praying, simpler, and just call on Jesus. I don't know how many people got healed on Saturday night, but the Spirit of God just moved upon hundreds of people. And all we did was pray the one word, Jesus. Now, of course, there are different ways in which you can do that. You could do it out of fear. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Which isn't quite what we're aiming at. Or you can just do it because, you know, some guy up the front tells you this is what to do. Jesus, 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 Jesus. But Jesus makes it clear that when we pray, it's what comes from the heart that matters. So if it becomes a heart cry, and I just saw people sort of just beginning, Jesus, Jesus, but then as the Spirit of God moved upon them, it became a heart cry, sometimes a heart-wrenching cry. You could see, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And of course, God has promised to answer the cry of our hearts. But of course, this is not just a mechanical way of praying. It's not just a form of prayer. What I'm talking about is getting your eyes off yourself, off your situation, off the need, and just being totally taken up with Jesus. Could it be that this is what it really means to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added? When instead of trying to get the things that are added, we just focus on the King. Part of the problem, I think, with prayer is people think that, you know, you have to pray like other people pray, like the established way of praying. I would have to confess that I think about 99% of my prayer life is nothing like the other way people pray. And it's always been like that. And when I started to travel, I had to try to get into the flow of the other way that people were praying, because that was the done way of doing things. And I found that that wasn't nearly, for me, as powerful and effective as what God had taught me to do. I don't want you to pray like I pray necessarily. But the point is that you don't learn by just trying to copy other people and what they do. Because prayer is essentially a relationship, isn't it? We pray out of relationship with Jesus. And instead of sort of standing there like stuffed animals while somebody prays and we say, Amen, how much more effective it would be if everybody was crying out to God. Not just speaking in tongues, that has its place, of course, but really engaging with Jesus. Their whole focus on Jesus and all that he is, all that he's done. There is no greater name under heaven. There is no other name that can compare with the authority of that name or the power of that name, or the victory of that name. Is just so totally unique, so much higher and greater than any other name. Jesus. I'm not suggesting that that's the only way you pray, because it's not the only way I pray. But here's a dimension to add to our prayer life, where everything is just focused on Jesus. You know, you've heard me say before that God is a God who wants to add rather than replace. You know, he adds further revelation to what we're doing. He doesn't say what you're doing now is rubbish and a nonsense. He says, no, look, I want to add something else. I want to add another dimension to what you're doing now. I want you to see that there's something more powerful, more effective than what you're doing now. I want to add to the anointing. I want to add to the revelation. Partly, I think it's daring to be simple. To imagine that Something as simple as that could be so powerful and effective. But what is more powerful than the name, that is, the person of Jesus? What is greater than the person of Jesus? In prayer, we don't tell Jesus what to do. Who are we to tell Jesus what to do? Nothing in Scripture suggests that we're to tell God what to do. We're to ask Him, seek Him, but He has promised never to deny anyone who seeks Him. And seeking Him is more than just asking for something. It's seeking the person. It's calling on the person. What do we read in Hebrews? Draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Draw near to what? The throne of Jesus. The one who is in the midst of the throne. The one who is reigning in glory and honor and majesty and power. Just seems to me that whenever Jesus is truly the focus, rather than we thinking that He's the focus or saying He's the focus, but when we really make Him the focus of what we're doing, not just in prayer, but in other ways too, but when Jesus is the focus, that's when things happen. And you see, according to Jesus, that's why we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because what does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? All the time, He would direct our focus to Jesus. He will remind you of everything He said, of all that He's done. See, this is what it really means to be led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, your focus is Jesus. Because the Spirit never glorifies Himself. He speaks only what He hears. So He hears and speaks and declares to us what is going to glorify and honor Jesus. And therefore the Father. See, in the days of His humanity, now you've all studied John's Gospel, so you will know this now. In the days of His humanity, Jesus never sought to glorify Himself. All the time He was glorifying the Father. He was pointing people to the Father. So the words He was speaking were the words the Father gave Him to speak, and the things He was doing were really the miracles and the healings that the Father was doing through the Son. Everything was for the glory of the Father. And then, when it comes just before the cross, Jesus says, "Now, Father, glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You." So, during the time of His ministry, everything was going to be for the glory of the Father. Now a new order is going to be established when the Holy Spirit comes upon those first believers, and whatever the Spirit does in them will glorify Jesus and will therefore also glorify the Father. So Jesus said, "I would do whatever you ask in My name, that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So even that name of Jesus now is still glorifying the Father. As we glorify Jesus, Jesus glorifies the Father. There's this wonderful sort of way in which everything is held together. But how liberating to realize that when we pray, we're not looking at ourselves and our situations and our circumstances and our feelings and the symptoms, but the whole focus is on Jesus. And I was thinking back and realizing probably the most powerful times in my life are when you just lose yourself in Jesus, not even conscious of yourself. Jesus is just so big, if you like, in your life at that time that everything is Jesus. Everything is focused around Jesus. You could really say that that's the essence of revival. That Jesus just takes over. So, we're going to add. I was thinking, this is neat. You know, somebody says, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, just say the name of Jesus. Just keep praying, Jesus, Jesus. And you know the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Because what you've taught them in one sentence is how to get their focus right. And once the focus is right, the Holy Spirit will take over from there. We teach them everything else they need to know. Perhaps I ought to write a new book on prayer. Just have one chapter with one word. Actually, I'd have to revise that because there's an alternative. And this is something that I have used over the years. And that is just to pray the name Father. Father, Father, Father. I love the Father prayer. It's just like the Jesus prayer. Because Jesus said, when you pray, say Father. So he said, you know, we can pray to the Father in his name, or we can pray to him, to Jesus, in his name, in his person. And then a scripture that God has been constantly speaking to me through all the way through the 136 days. No, the 36 days. Seems like 136 days. So much has happened. But during those 36 days, you know, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in Jesus. You know, we say in the name of Jesus, but actually, you see, the name is the person. So whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. You guys, next week, is it a mission week or miracle week? I think we agreed it was going to be a miracle week, didn't we? It'll be a miracle week if the focus is on Jesus. But if our focus is on ourselves and our fears and our doubts and our, will I get this right, can I do that, will the Lord use me, won't the Lord use me, I'm not very good at this, I'm afraid of this, I don't know, isn't it time for a cup of tea? Yeah, been there, done it. But if we go out in the name of Jesus, we're just taking Jesus out. See, we're just taking Jesus out. And if we pray with anyone, I mean, you can think, there's this non-believer, never prayed before in his life, and you say, just start saying Jesus. Just call on Jesus. He's no longer a swear word. Now he's going to become your Lord and your Savior. Jesus. Jesus. I'm sure you get somebody to pray like that, they'll never use Jesus as a swear word again. If we love him, we love the name, don't we? We love the person. Oh, we get so complicated. You know, I've been around, as you know, for a long time in ministry. And I can look back not because you can resurrect the past, you can never do that. But I've known that the times when the power of God, not just in our ministry, but generally speaking, when the power of God has been most evident is when everything is at its most simple. And I think if you look at the Gospels, you see that Jesus' ministry essentially was a very simple ministry. It wasn't complicated. And I think you're back to, you know, powerful times. The songs were simple. The modern worship songs, I'm not talking just here, I mean, generally speaking, they're so much more complicated. You've got to have a verse and a chorus and a bridge and this and that and the other. It's rubbish. What you've got to have is a heart that calls on Jesus and wants to worship Jesus. And sometimes the simplest song can be the most effective song in connecting with Jesus, which is what you want to do in worship. And especially if you're meeting with Jesus and you want to worship Jesus, you don't want to try to think and remember the words of a song. You just want something that's so simple, it just instinctively comes to your heart. But I'm not just having a go at worship. That's just a symptom of how everything has become more complicated, and you've got more and more books with this and that, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do the other. Whereas, you know, I think back, well, in those early days, people just loved Jesus. They just loved Jesus. They talked about Jesus. They just worshiped Jesus in such simple ways. I mean, childlike ways. And there were some of the songs. You know, If I Were a Butterfly. You would never get anybody singing that now. But you might laugh. But I tell you, when songs like that were sung, the Spirit of God fell. And we can sing a lot of songs today without the Spirit of God falling. It was just this childlike simplicity. Except you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom. And yes, we grow to maturity and all of that. But, you know, the more you see what's happening in the world, in our society, this nation, in Europe, America, wherever you look, you think, well, the only answer, really, the only conceivable answer to the mess that seems to be getting worse and worse is a new move of the Spirit. But if there's a new move of the Spirit, where will he put the focus? where he always puts the focus on Jesus. I believe the Holy Spirit will bring everybody back to the simple, basic truths of what it means to know Jesus, to love Jesus, to serve Jesus, to obey Jesus, to glorify Jesus. And I found myself saying, Lord, forgive me if I've made things more complicated than they ever needed to be. You know, I'm sort of renowned for making profound truths simple. And I always want to keep it simple, but God forgive me if I've ever made anything more complicated than it needed to be. Because our God is, I'm sure he wants us to be so sort of forthright, really. You know, coming boldness before him. Because we know his love and his acceptance. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's got to come from the heart. All I'm saying is, yeah, we can go on singing these other songs. Please, I'm not having a go at the songs. But what I'm saying is, don't let your relationship with Jesus depend upon complicated songs, but on a simple cry from the heart, Jesus, I just love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I just want you, Jesus. I just need more of you, Jesus, more of you in my life, Jesus. I just want to glorify you, Jesus. My life is nothing without you, Jesus. Jesus, you're my, not just my healer, you're my health. You're not just my savior, you're my salvation. You're my righteousness, you're my holiness, you're my everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are the cry of my heart. You are the lover of my soul. I have nothing and I am nothing apart from you. Jesus. It's so simple. You come in here, 8 o'clock every morning. What do you do if you don't feel like worshiping, don't feel like praying? You're here because you're supposed to be here. It all goes on around you. You don't even feel involved, if you're honest. You try to get into things. Sing the song that's up on the wall or whatever. Well, just call on the name of Jesus. And see what happens. Jesus. Jesus. I don't mean half a dozen times. I mean, keep doing it. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Jesus. 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 And just see what God does in you. Because you see, what you're doing is exalting him above every part of your life. As you submit yourself to Jesus. Gather you guys. Got a forum this week about submitting. Well, simple. Put Jesus first. Jesus. Sorry to give you the answer to your forum in one sentence, but I mean, Jesus. He is the answer, isn't he? Doesn't matter what the question is, he's always the answer. Jesus. 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 Oh, it'd be great, you know, just teach our kids, well, when you pray, just say Jesus, 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 Jesus. So simple. So simple. And what I find, you see, is the more you call on the name of Jesus, the closer you draw to him. I mean, how do you draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance? How do you actually draw near? Because it's a command, isn't it? Draw near. How do you do that? Do you sort of stand there and think, before the throne of God? No, no, no. You just call on Jesus. And you draw near to him, and he draws near to you. It is so simple. It is so, so simple and powerful. And I've been praying, and I'm sure many of you have, that we would see a greater release of God's power amongst us. And, you know, I've been saying to God, Lord, I don't mind what it costs. I don't mind what it costs me, what you have to do in me. But I need to see a greater release of your power. Because I've seen, you know, more power released in my ministry in former times than I've seen in recent times. I said, Lord, it's not that I want to get back to what I was doing in the past, but I need to see more of your power. It's like that prayer in Acts 4, you know. Lord, we need to see your hand stretched out to heal. We need to see you performing mighty signs and wonders in our midst. We need this, Lord, because we can't effectively evangelize without that. You couldn't evangelize without it. The apostles couldn't evangelize without it. And we're full of pride if we think we can evangelize without seeing your power confirming your word. And, you know, it came recently just as this, and I've been sort of working with this recently, and I always wait until I've worked something through in my own life before I share it with you or with others. And you know, it's as if God is saying, look, Colin, the answer to your prayer is so simple. You just call on me. You call on the name of Jesus. Because in that name is all the power, all the authority, all the victory you could ever need, no matter what the situation, no matter how you feel, what the circumstances, what the need is, Jesus is always the answer. Jesus is the power of God. He is the Almighty One. And I know, and you know, that God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, but he's also filled us with his power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we know that we want to see that power flowing out of us as rivers of living water. It isn't that we lack power, it's just, Lord, what do we need to do in order to see the release of that which you've given us? I just think he's saying, focus on Jesus. Not on the situation, not on the need, not on the sickness, not on the symptom. Just focus on Jesus. Just seek me. Just cry out to me. Why? Because God has promised and he is faithful to all his promises. Now, are you ready for something here? Because we're going to pray in a minute. I'm going to tell you something first. Well, this is something God really spoke to my heart. And boy, was it powerful the other day. What's Jesus doing when we cry out to him in this way? Scripturally speaking, what's he doing? Jesus. You know what the Lord showed me he's doing? He is saying, Amen, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Amen, Amen. Why? Because he's the yes and the Amen to all the promises of God. You cry out to me, what is Amen? It shall be so. Jesus, it shall be so. You're there in a situation, instead of praying a whole lot of words about the situation, Jesus, 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 it shall be so. His will, his answer, his power, Amen, it shall be so. Wow! I don't think I ever really had understood what it meant to say that Jesus is the yes and the Amen to all the promises of God. That's not just something about Jesus. It means it's something about the activity of Jesus. Because all the ways in which Jesus is described, all, if you like, the names of Jesus in Scripture, all denote something of his activity. So then I'm thinking, we say, in the name of Jesus, Amen, as if it's down to us to say the Amen. And there God would say, no, Jesus is the Amen. You're not the Amen. He's the Amen. So you call on Jesus and he'll say the Amen. Amen. It shall be so. You know, you're in the middle of the situation, instead of saying, oh, Lord, 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 you know, and you describe the situation. He knows more about the situation than you do, but you feel that you ought to describe the situation. And then you tell him what you think he ought to do in the situation, and he knows far better what he ought to do than you know. But you think this is the way to pray, you know, and then you say, in the name of Jesus, Amen. Whereas, you know, Jesus, Jesus, you just lift him, you exalt him above the situation, and he says, Amen. It shall be as I am able to work according to my word, according to my promises. Amen.
Well, that's not the way most people pray.
Well, proof of the pudding is in the eating, isn't it? Let's see what God does. Let's see what God does. No, I don't mean just this morning. But I mean as we take on board what he's saying this morning and really begin to flow in this, in these coming days, weeks. When you go out next week, I mean, God is, he's a genius. I mean, he is the God of perfect timing. There couldn't be a better time than this to bring this message. I just think of all those things that are going to happen next week. And Jesus is going to be the Amen. And you're going to see miracles, you're going to see healings, you're going to see salvation. Not because you're going out with something complicated, but you're just taking Jesus out. Or he's taking you out. Because he's the shepherd, he leads you, you don't lead him. So, are we ready to go? I can understand that some of you are probably too clever for this. But I'm a simple guy, you see, and I've found that simple things work best. But if you're too clever for this, then go and find something else to do, because we're going to be simple this morning. Is that all right? So let's all stand. I focus on him and just begin to speak out his name from your heart. But I did say speak and not whisper. Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 the power is in the name, the life is in the name, that one word, Jesus, just that one word, just the one word, just the one word. Let it be the cry of your heart. I can't hear much heart cry at present. Let him be the desire of your heart. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, 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 come on, draw near to him. Draw near to him. Just keep crying out from your heart. Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Goodness me, come on, don't give up. Goodness me. Come on, Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 praise you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. The cry of your heart. The cry of your heart. The cry of your heart. Oh, the cry of your heart. Jesus. Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're thinking too much with your heads. Come on, it's your heart. It's your heart God wants. Not your head, your heart. Your heart. Cry out to Him in love. He's the lover of your soul. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Focus on Him. Just focus on Him. Focus on Him. Oh, Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Keep calling out to Him till you know you're close to Him. Face to face with Him. Face to face, face to face, face to face. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Puratapa. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.